Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. And Dustin, we are going to continue our conversation about Penn State reaching elite status. And we were talking off the air about this. As a fan watching Penn State, especially last season, what concerned me was I almost felt more comfortable if it was third and short than third and long for the opposing team. It just seems like the opponent always converted on third down. My concern was, well, is it just as a fan I'm getting that impression, and it's not really the case. So I did something crazy. You may call me insane for doing this, but I decided to actually look up the statistics to see if I was right or wrong on this. And it turns out Penn State's defense on third down conversion rate ranked 52nd in the country. 52nd. So what our eyeballs were telling us, the statistics really seemed to bear out that they were not good on third down. And the breakdowns weren't just, it's third and short and they give up the first down. It was on third and longs and breakdowns in the defensive backfield. I'm thinking this has to change if they want to reach elite status, doesn't it?
Well, let me put this a different way. If you're a Penn State fan, and all whether it's third down or otherwise, this probably applies to every down, especially in the second half of last year. If the other team has the ball and you are on your knees praying that they're going to run it, there's probably something that needs to be fixed with your defense, right? And that were you not in that situation last year, especially when things started to go south around Minnesota, around that midway point of the year, where some pretty deep flaws were revealed in that pass defense? If you're praying that the other team's going to run it, that's a problem.
Oh, you're exactly right. It's why, I said it off the air. It may sound silly, but I was more comfortable if it was third and two or third and three, as opposed to third and 12.
Yeah.
Which meant they were going to pass the ball and there was a chance for a major breakdown on this defense. And the breakdowns happened many different ways. There were missed assignments. Sometimes it was just, the defensive back never turned to play the ball. You name it, it would seem to happen. And can you put your finger on something specific, Dustin, that's going on there?
I personally don't believe that the personnel is an issue. I think Penn State, when it comes to defensive back talent, cornerbacks and safeties, they're in the upper third of the Big Ten when it comes to just the raw talent of playing those positions. Hearing Brent Pry talk earlier in the spring, talking about the coaching dynamic there and wondering out loud. And I thought it was, came from a point of vulnerability, came from a point of this is a human being trying to really diagnose and figure out how to move forward. Are you overcommitted to stopping the run and making yourself more vulnerable than you need to be on the back end of the defense? Is your pass rush making the type of consistent impact that you need it to? I know Penn State has put up nice numbers in the sacks department really since James Franklin got here, but is that unit playing its part to give Penn State's cornerbacks the time and the ability to defend that position? It's hard to find cornerbacks who can defend for 3, 4, 5 seconds one-on-one in that long a stretch. So that's how, it's a whole symbiotic relationship between the guys up front and the guys in the back. And I think the answer to this is there's probably something to diagnose and fix in all phases of this. But I think Penn State last year, and Brent Pry sort of admitted this, maybe trying too hard to make opponents one-dimensional. Take one thing away. And in a lot of cases, the Big Ten doesn't feature a lot of quarterbacks that make you shake in your boots. The league itself, it just hasn't. It didn't last year. So in some respects, it makes sense to say, all right, I'm going to make you beat us through the air. But, you know, whether that's communication issues or whether that's the pass rush not getting there or some combination of those things, they made themselves vulnerable. They revealed that that was a flaw. So I don't know what changes from a coaching vantage point. I do think you're going to see maybe not radical changes in that approach, but I think you're going to see changes in that approach next year. You're going to see Brent Pry trying to help his defensive backs out a little bit more. And I do think the cornerbacks room is as good as it's been at Penn State from top to bottom depth wise. I think the safeties, you're going to have veterans back there who have some impact potential. So I don't think personnel is it again in 2020. So if you see Penn State struggle to defend the pass again, I think it's going to start in the coaching ranks.
There's also a couple things, and I'll do the glass half full. I think that defense will be better. Excuse me. I think there's going to be better speed at the linebacker position. And I think we're also going to get the maturation of the young cornerbacks, the Keaton Ellis's and Marquise Wilson and Joey Porter Jr. And that's going to make a difference on those kind of plays. Backbreaking when it's you have a team third and long and they're still able to convert. You just can't have that. I'm going to go to another element, Dustin, and I know that you and I have mentioned this a little bit in the past, but I want to get into it a little bit more. I started segment two and started this conversation by saying, we're not going to go to the default. How do you get to elite? You win more games. But actually, I'm going to kind of fall back to that and say they need to win more games. But I don't mean the obvious. They've got to get past Ohio State, and they've lost to Ohio State, and they've blown leads, which kind of hit upon some of the other topics we had here, not being able to hold the lead at the end. But we all know that reaching the playoffs, the first factor, you know, they talk about everything else, schedules, this, that, the other thing, but you cannot lose more than one game and make the college football playoffs. That has been the case so far. Do not lose more than one game. And somehow Penn State has found a way to do that. And it's not just because they lost to Ohio State. It's because they've lost another game that they probably should not have lost. They've lost to less talented teams, whether it was Pitt in 2016. They lost multiple times to a Michigan State team that was not as good as Penn State. I'll even say they should not have lost to Minnesota last year. And those games we forget about, but it's not just beating Ohio State. How about making sure you win all the games you're supposed to, right, Dustin?
I completely agree with that sentiment. Mathematically, beating Ohio State is not the only path to the college football playoff. It's not the only path. You know, it makes the math difficult in the Big Ten title race, and it does make life more difficult when you're trying to build a case to make the playoff. But winning the games that you're favored to win. Let's start with that one, because I don't know what the numbers suggest here, and I imagine you haven't done that deep dive yet. But how many of those games that Penn State has lost, how many have they gone into those games as favorites? So I do think that the next step, I mean, beating Ohio State is the standard, it's the gold standard for any other team in the Big Ten. It's where they all want to be. And I think doing that not only amounts to a better chance of making the college football playoff that particular year, it has a chance to elevate your program and take it to new heights. I think that's what happened in 2016. It put Penn State on the national map, and they ended up being one of the hottest teams in the country then as a result. And I think it's had a transformative effect on the program beyond just that, the scope of that season. So that to me is the magnitude of beating Ohio State. It's not just getting a better chance of making the college football playoff that year. It has a chance to help you close that gap with Ohio State in a much broader sense too. We've seen it happen before. We saw it happen in 2016. I think that's the next big step for Penn State, is winning a game like that to get yourself to that next level. You know, Penn State is somewhere in between that great elite range, and they're in good company in that range. But there's a group of four or five, six teams that have a real hold on college football right now. Penn State is on that outer fringe. How do you get from the outer fringe into that core group? You beat somebody from that core group. So I think, you know, beating Ohio State is to me a much bigger picture issue than just reaching the playoff in 1 year, both of which are very important.
As an old guy, I'm going to digress and go to an old story. Years ago, Big East college basketball, Georgetown was the Ohio State at that time, the very best team. But by playing them off, Villanova upset them and won a national championship. And a lot of people were stunned by that. I was not, because I saw Villanova play Georgetown tough every single time in the regular season. They didn't get over the hump until that national championship game. It's kind of the same thing. The analogy I'm trying to make is Penn State has been right there with Ohio State in these games. They've not been overwhelmed. They've not been physically beat up. They didn't lose the game just because Ohio State showed up by being Ohio State. Penn State not only got ahead, but they had them down by double digits. Penn State has shown they're totally unafraid of Ohio State, and they're physically capable of playing with them. They just need that last step to get over the top. Like you said, it almost can be a program-changing win if they do beat Ohio State. And so I'm now just done exactly what I said I wasn't going to do when we started, which was to say the way you get to elite is you win more games. So it's beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And one of these years, you have to get past the Ohio State milestone, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we made the comparison. You know, somebody else did it, but we discussed this, the Penn State versus Clemson comparison, and how personnel-wise and record-wise in the run-up to Clemson's big turning of the corner, Penn State looks a lot like Clemson did on paper. There are some variations, namely the Big Ten East and having to navigate that gauntlet as opposed to the ACC. But the big missing ingredient, as you mentioned, just because it's obvious doesn't mean it's not true, is Penn State to get another one of those milestone type wins, preferably more than one. But you have to start somewhere. And for Penn State to kind of scratch and claw to that next level, they need to beat a really good team. They need to win a game that they shouldn't technically win. They also need to win the games that they should win.
Exactly. And this would be the year that those great recruiting classes in 2018, 2019, this is the year those players mature. So this is the good year to make that leap. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around in quarter number four. We're going to get back to our roster review.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.